Well, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, we desire to learn of you and know more about you. Father, we come as truly thankful people that you have provided us with a way of peace with you. And as we look at these verses on, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, that we would learn some things that could help us as we travel through this wicked and dark world in which we live. And we thank you that from the very beginning you had a plan in mind on how to reach out and provide a way of reconciliation with you. So be with us, guide us, and let me speak your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Peacemakers. This is the only verse that it's ever used in the entire Bible, which makes it very difficult to do a word search on because there's only one. Basically, the word peacemaker is used as someone who loves peace, and that's their goal. And children of God basically means those who are now identified by a life and a character that resembles God. So, how do peacemakers resemble God? Some couple of questions that I had. Who needs peace? Basic answer is everyone needs peace. There will be times when we are not at peace with people, but everyone needs people. Everyone needs peace. Everyone who has sinned against God needs peace. Christians, brothers and sisters that are at odds with each other, they need to have peace with one another. Christians and unbelievers need to have a peaceful relationship with one another. And at times, non-believing people need to be at peace with one another. Everyone needs peace. Who are the peacemakers? We are the peacemakers. The children of God are the peacemakers. And as we look at some verses here, I think you'll kind of understand why we are the peacemakers. One of the reasons is that we are at peace with God. If we believe in Him and trust in Him, we are at peace with Him. We are the ones that can show peace to the world. True peace. So let's look at some verses. God is a God of peace. There's a major war that's been going on in this world, on this earth for several thousand years. Started in Genesis 3, when man rebelled against God. If you look at the creation, everything was in harmony at the creation. When man rebelled, the war started. It wasn't created by God, it was created by man. In these verses, let's just look at these real fast. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Here is a solid statement that the world is at war with God. But also is a statement that God is going to resolve this conflict at some point in time. Some point in time, He is going to judge the earth and judge everyone that is on the earth. In Deuteronomy 20, I had never read this passage before. In Deuteronomy 20, Israel's about ready to go into battle. And the commanders come to the people and say, if you have just recently built a house and you have not lived in it yet, turn around and go home, lest someone else lives in your house that you labored on. If you recently got engaged or married, go back home. Don't fight the battle. If you don't have basically the stomach to fight the battle, go home. And then he says this, when you march up to attack a city, make its people an offer of peace. If they accept and open their gates, all the people in it shall be subject to forced labor and shall work for you. If they refuse to make peace and they engage you in battle, lay siege to the city. God's first offer is for peace. Doesn't necessarily want to be a God of war. His first offer is peace. But if man rejects peace, then judgment will come later. So our God has provided us with a way of peace. In Romans 5:1, we read this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided a way of peace for the world through the death, burial, resurrection of His Son. God sending His only Son into the world to die for us is the only way that peace was ever going to be satisfied or peace was ever going to be established. In order to have peace with God, God's justice had to be satisfied. Jesus' death on the cross did that. Now, through faith in Him, we can be justified and have peace with God. It sounds simple, but if you think about it, that is an extraordinary plan. From the very beginning of time, to know that man's going to rebel and that you are going to have to provide a way, and the only way is to send your Son to die for man. Our faith in the finished work of Christ gives us peace with God. In Ephesians 2, it reads this, for He Himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. It's a good explanation of what Christ has done for us. Sorry, my mouth is really dry this morning for some reason. So the first thing is that we need to have peace with God. God has provided a way of peace. And it's through His Son and the death of His Son on the cross. The other next thing we need to do is we need to make sure that we are at peace with one another. The next slide, please. Yeah, thank you. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the privilege and the responsibility of reaching out to others and showing them the way to God, the way to peace. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which is showing man how to get reconciled with God. In a few weeks, we're going to be starting another series, and we're going to be talking about our ministry of reconciliation. We're going to be talking some about the Lord Jesus as our mediator, and we're going to be talking about our role as ambassadors for God. And so I'm not going to go a lot into the ministry of reconciliation here today, other than to say, we as believers in Christ, we have been given that responsibility to reach out to help reconcile this world to God. Peace with other believers. I think this is one area that is really important for us to take grasp of, that we need to be at peace with one another. I'm talking about believers here, as much as we possibly can. Because if the world sees Christians fighting with one another, what motive does it give them to look into the deeper riches and the knowledge of Christ? Okay, I'm on the wrong slide on my iPad, so here, now I'm on the right one. Live in peace with each other out of 1 Thessalonians 5:13. In Galatians 3, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There are times and there will be matters when we are going to be in disagreement with others who call themselves Christians. And it's going to be over doctrinal issues that we hold true. But as much as we can't let simple things or things that are not central to the gospel keep us from being at peace with other believers. And I don't think it's an easy thing because, you know, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Peace with non-believers. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We have a responsibility as we live this life to demonstrate God's love to other people and to live in peace with each other. We need to live holy lives, lives that reflect who God is. And as we live those lives that reflect who God is, hopefully other people will see that and that will attract them to the gospel. In Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The key phrase here is, if it is possible. We can't force other people to be at peace with us. But we can do those things that we need to do as Christians to reach out to other people, to try to be at peace with them. But it's not always going to work. But our goal is, as we demonstrate peace to others, we are demonstrating God's love for them. And we need to do that on a consistent basis. In Romans 14, says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Probably should have had this slide before the other one. But previously in this chapter, in chapter 14, Paul is talking about the weaker brother and the stronger brother. And he's talking about how a lot of times within the Christian world, we start to judge each other because our faith may be stronger in an area and another brother's may be weaker. And we take where we are and we impose that on other people. And we judge them, and that leads to disharmony at times. Quick story from my past. I had a good friend in Lincoln, Nebraska, named Steve. When I first met Steve, he had just become a believer. And, you know, I'd go over to his house and he would have this really hard rock, acid rock kind of music on, which was in no way honoring to God or whatever, and not anywhere close to my taste in music. And I never said a word to Steve about the type of music that he listened to, because I realized that it took a while for me to be convicted of the type of music that I listened to. Was it edifying to God? Was it soothing to me? What was the music creating? It took me a while to develop, you know, what type of music I like to listen to that I think is honoring to God. And so I never said anything to Steve about it, because I didn't want my personal convictions to impose myself on him. And so over time, Steve would talk with me he'd bring up music every once in a while, and I would just be real gentle with him and everything. And over a period of time, Steve started listening to different styles of music. He started listening to styles of music that was more honoring to God. He started watching TV shows, or not watching TV shows, that weren't as honoring to God. And but it was not because I had to say anything to him. It was because I modeled a life for him. And I think that's what we need to do when we're with, whether we're the weaker or the stronger brother, we need to model a life of Christ that is honoring to God, and through that, hopefully, it leads to peace and it leads to building up of our brothers. We don't need to do things that tear them down. And sometimes by trying to move them too quickly in their faith, sometimes we can become a barrier for them. And we need to be gentle with our brothers, and we need to build them up, not tear them down. The peacemakers will be called the children of God. What does this mean? One, it means that we have a Heavenly Father. We don't have a father, well, we have our earthly fathers, but now our true Father is Father in heaven. What are the privileges? The privileges that now we are His children. Heaven is our future. And it is something that can never be taken away from us. How many of you well, let me back up a second here. Losing my voice. The family you are identified with is important. It's known by others. Your name, your family name. Maybe this isn't so much now as it was in the past. But I remember growing up, when I was in the eighth grade, my father was in the military, and he was a military policeman. At this time in his career, he was in charge of a squad of military policemen. And when we were living in Germany, and my brother, it was cold one day, and my brother went into the postal exchange, or the Walmart on a military base, basically. And he attempted to steal a pair of gloves to keep his hands warm. And he got caught. And so, who gets called but the military police? And I'm at school, and this happens over the lunch hour. So I hear about it in the afternoon, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my brother is going to be in so much trouble. And so I go home that night. I go home after school. My dad comes home, and he says, Mike, Grady, come back to the room with me. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. Why do I have to go back to that room? And I'll never forget this, but my dad sat us down and he said, I just want you to know today that everything that I've taught you and everything that pertains to our family name was destroyed today by your actions. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. You know, because I think my father knew that we were both mischievous and we both did things that were wrong. And he knew that he needed to use this as an example to say, your family name is important. And I'll never forget that incident. We are called the children of God. We need to live lives where we represent our Father. In Ephesians 5, it says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. First step We need to follow God's example and walk in love. We need to be children that don't defile the family name. In Philippians 2, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. This is Paul's writing this, but I think it's very, very pertinent to this as we represent our Father. We live in a world that is warped. It's at war with God. And we need to live our lives blameless and pure so that we will light up the darkness. How many of you have ever been out in the wilderness in the middle of the night where there's clear skies, not a full moon, no moon at all, just the stars? And you look up at them and they are overwhelming. It is so magnificent to see. That is who we are supposed to be in this world. We are supposed to be like the stars in the night, clear, bright reflections of our Father. That's who we're supposed to be. Not an easy task. Obedience is the key. In 1 Peter 1, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." As children of God, our Father's no longer of this world. We can't continue to live the way we did when we were non-believers. We have to change. And our goal should be to reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. Living a life of holiness is a tall order, but it needs to be our goal. In 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. It's a great honor to be called the children of God. And the world's not going to know us. It's not going to recognize us. In fact, as we try to live these lives that represent God, not only is the world not going to know us, the world is going to reject us, and the world is going to persecute us. Next week, when we look at the last beatitude, that's what it focuses on. We are going to have conflict in this world. Our goal is to live a life honoring to God. If that brings persecution, persecution comes. If it means we're at odds with the world, we are at odds with the world, but we are at peace with God. And that is our goal. How do we go about being like God? One of the things is we need to love our enemies. Not an easy job being a Christian. But God reached out and loved us while we were His enemies. I didn't put the verse. This is out of Matthew 5, 43 and on. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collector, are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Learning to love our enemies is a difficult thing to do. But how do we do that? One, we do it by sharing the gospel with our enemies. We share the gospel with those who are lost. We do it by showing God's love to them. When they have a need, we try to reach out and meet their need. Physical need, emotional need, whatever it is, we try to see if we can reach out to them and demonstrate God's love to them. We live with them in peace as much as possible. All of that is done by living a life that honors our Father and reflects His character. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're going to look at next week. We are the peacemakers. We need to be striving to live in peace with others. But we also need to reflect God's character and honor that. So this week, as you go through this warped, wicked world that is at war with God, think about how you can show God's love to them and bring about peace. Bring them one step closer to being at peace with God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, let us be children that honor the family name. Amen. You are dismissed.